Going to be reading from Acts 17, 16 through 34. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he argued in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and also in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Also, some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers debated with him. Some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign divinities. And this was because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. So they took him and brought him to the Areopagus and asked him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? It sounds rather strange to us, so we would like to know what it means." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners living there would spend their time in nothing but telling or hearing something new. Then Paul stood in the front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of their places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. For we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which we will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some scoffed, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' At that point, Paul left them, but some of them joined him and became believers, including Dionysius, an Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him." Paul is telling us there that he kind of found a niche. It's one of those things where, and we've mentioned before, if you walk up to somebody, you don't want to walk up to them and say, "Hey, are you saved?" Because you're going to turn off a lot of people. You want to kind of ease into it. You want to join them where they live. And that's what Paul was doing. He was complimenting them on the fact that they seem to be a very religious people, even though they may have been worshiping multiple gods to cover all their bases. And to fully cover their bases, they had one that they called to the unknown God. And he kind of took that and ran with it and explained to them that that unknown God is the one and true God, and told them all about it. And that's how we should approach things when we are trying to talk to the unchurched or the non-Christian. You need to meet them where they live and kind of ease into the subject. And you'd be surprised how many will come to you. There's an Italian town, a little Italian town, that has a beautiful cathedral. It was built in the 14th century. This is gorgeous cathedral. You know how these cathedrals have all the art and all the different things in them? And it became a tourist thing. Lots of people like to go see this 14th century cathedral. Well, they got a new priest, and this new priest noticed that even though they had this beautiful cathedral, they had very few people in their congregation. So he thought about this, and he got some of the local townspeople to help him a short distance away build an ugly cinder block church. And that's where he started preaching. And lo and behold, he had a full sanctuary in this ugly cinder block church. And when people got curious about, okay, why people would go to this church, But they wouldn't go to this fancy 14th century cathedral. He explained it this way. He said, well, that cathedral was built in a different era, for a different generation, in a different time. The people of today, this generation, didn't feel like it was theirs. They wanted something that they could claim as being a part of their generation, a part of themselves. And that's what he accomplished when he had them to build this ugly cinder block church. They all helped build this thing. They participated in it. So they felt ownership. They felt like it was something of theirs. And that's why they started attending. And if you look around today, and we've talked about this some, we've got a lot of non-denominational, as some people call, TV churches. And they seem to have full sanctuaries. And it may be because they are meeting the needs of today's generation. They are meeting the people where they live. And they're providing things like the drummers and the guitarists and the bands and all this, what I would refer to as entertainment, because I tend to be old school traditionalist and I don't think that stuff really belongs in church. But they seem to be getting people to come to church. And I wouldn't knock anybody that can get people to come to church, meeting them where they live. And even if some of those people are there because they like the music, they want to be with their peers, and that's their only reason for being there, at least they're inside of a church. And maybe because they're inside of a church, the Spirit might fill them and they might really see what it's all about. Meeting them where they are. And that's what Paul was doing. And that's what maybe we need to do. And I'm not advocating we get the guitarists and the drums and all that stuff up here, but maybe we need to meet people where they are when we invite them to church, or we just talk to them about Christianity. French philosopher Voltaire visited London in 1727, and this was a time period where the English and the French weren't good friends. Well, it didn't take the English there in London very long to realize Voltaire was a Frenchman. And they started to go after him and saying things like, hang the Frenchman. Well, Voltaire looked at those people and he said, Englishmen, you want to kill me because I am a Frenchman. Am I not punished enough already not being an Englishman? And the crowd applauded. I thought, wow, that's great. And they even made sure he got back on his ship and safely back to France, because he met them where they were. Instead of standing there and stoically being a fresh Frenchman, he said something that appealed to them, got their attention. And that's how we get people into the church. We say things that appeal to them, things that will help us talk to them about Christianity, what Christ has done for us, he can do for you. And that's where we have our greatest chance of winning people over to Christ. It's not by looking at them and saying, are you saved? It's about easing into it, being kind and nice. Y'all know I'm a fan of Peanuts and Charles Schulz. There's a Peanuts cartoon where Linus is listening to his sister tell him about her potential as an evangelist. She says to Linus, I would have made a great evangelist. Do you know that kid that sits behind me at school? I convinced him that my religion is better than his religion. Linus looked at Lucy and said, okay, how did you do that? I hit him with my lunchbox. Now that's the wrong approach. You don't want to upset people or make them angry or put them off. You want to convince them that this is a good thing. And compliment them. Don't condemn them. I meet people a lot that go to different denominations, different churches, and I tell them, I think that's great. You're going to church. I don't care where you go to church. We're all going the same place. We all have the same goal. So as long as you can convince them to be a Christian, you can build God's kingdom, and hopefully, because they see how you are, they will come to your church and maybe like being here and might invite some friends, and they'll invite some friends, and that's how churches grow. It's by meeting them where they are. It's about sharing the gospel. And as a person of faith, as a Christian, you should be compelled to share the gospel. You should want to share the gospel. You should want your friends and neighbors to be saved just like you. Not by attacking them and asking them if they're saved, but by talking to them, sharing things. There was an ad, a commercial for Mercedes-Benz a while back, and one of the Mercedes-Benz executives is being interviewed, and they're talking about the design of the car and the safety features and those different things and how it has this special crash-absorbing mechanism and all that. And the interviewer looks at this executive and he says, "No, wait. Other car manufacturers have that same thing. What is so special about yours?" And the executive looked at the interviewer and he said, "Well, there are some things that are just too important not to share." And you'll see that a lot among car manufacturers. One of them might come up with some feature that makes us safer, and then they all start doing that because they share, because it's important to share that to keep us safe. And it's just as important for us to share what keeps us safe as Christians, what keeps us uplifted as Christians. You should want to share that. It's important. Sharing our faith is our most natural thing. It's something that we should easily do. And if you worry about what you're going to say to somebody, stop and pray about it and think to God, "Please, put the words in my mouth to help that person." And He will. He will put those words in your mouth. Another thing that's good for getting people to Christ is how we are. I've mentioned before, people watch us, but they're watching to see us mess up. If you don't, if you are a kind, loving, caring Christian and people see that, they might want to be that same way. That might impress them. There's a story of a lady who was driving to the grocery store, and she was listening to one of these Christian radio stations, and it was a talk show thing. And the person on the air was talking about kindness, being kind as a Christian and being nice to others. And one of the things he said was, "I wonder how many of you are listening to me on your car radio and thinking of how you can be kind while driving." So she got to thinking about that, and a few blocks down the road, this was a fairly busy street and road, she noticed someone trying to back out of their driveway into this busy traffic. And she thought to herself, "Hey, I can be nice. I can stop and let them out." And she did. And when she got to the grocery store, she found a parking space and started towards it. And somebody coming from the other direction started towards that same parking space. And if you've ever been in that situation, it becomes a standoff. Okay, who's going to get the parking space? And she thought to herself, "Well, I can be kind and Christian, and I'll just back up and let them have the parking space." And she did, and drove around to the next aisle and found her a place to park. Well, when she got out and the lady that she'd let into the parking space got out, they sort of met each other as they were walking into the store. And the lady that she had let have the parking space told her that she was quite impressed. "I can't believe what you did. I can't believe that you let me have that parking space. Anybody else would have made me back up." And they got to talking. And she found out that this lady that she had given the parking space to was new to the area and was looking for a church. And so she invited her to her church, and they became great friends. And she started attending her church. All started by a simple act of kindness, because she backed down and let that woman have the parking space. I mean, if you have to walk a little bit to get to the store, hey, so what? The walking's not going to hurt you. If you do something nice like that, that makes a great impression. It may not impress everybody. Some people will think, well, I deserve that space anyway. But 9 times out of 10, you're going to make somebody stop and think, because that is a very unusual thing to see today, is people being kind and polite. So you have to live Christianity, and people see how you live Christianity. There's a story of a group. They were crossing the Sahara Desert. They were driving across it. It was kind of a competition thing. And there was this one gentleman that was kind of reporting on this crossing, and he made the comment that there are those in this group that are concerned about completing their mission and getting to the other side. But there are those who are more concerned about protecting their vehicle. And he said, to give you an example, there was a Swiss group that started having problems with their Land Rover and decided to quit and go back to Sweden. And he got in with a German group who had problems with their Peugeot, and they decided to abandon it and got on a truck with some other people and completed their mission. And I tell you that because sometimes in Christianity it's like that. In churches it's like that. We're more concerned about completing our mission and protecting our vehicle than about getting people to come to us. We're more concerned about protecting who we are and who we've been. I can't tell you the number of times I've talked to elderly people in churches that say, you know, 50 years ago, this place was full. That was 50 years ago. Times have changed. People don't automatically go to church anymore. You have to invite them. You have to show them what it is. You have to show them a benefit. And that's why you talk to them about Christianity. You show them how God has helped you and how He could help them. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be a person that can give a great sermon to the person. You just be yourself, be the Christian, and talk to them. You'll notice I tell you every Sunday morning at the benediction that as you go outside these four walls, let others see Christ in you. And I really mean that. You can make a great impression on people by being a Christian and showing that you're a Christian. Don't do like Rick Warren says about the people that are singing Onward Christian Soldier on Sunday and going AWOL on Monday. Live as a Christian. Good example. Young man and woman in an office working together. The phone rings, and it's for this young lady, Laura. She knows who it is, doesn't want to talk to that person, so she says, John, you answer the phone. Tell him I'm not here. So he did. But John, being the Christian that he was, it started to eat at him, and he prayed to God, please forgive me for lying about her not being here. And he went over to Laura and he said, listen, I had to ask God for forgiveness for what I did because it wasn't right. Please don't ask me to do that again. And Laura noticed that, wow, he has great integrity. He must be a really good Christian. There must be something to this. That's how we live a Christian life through the week. We do the things that we know are right. And other people see that. We represent Christ, but we also represent everybody. We care about everybody. Pat Robertson, many years ago, when he tried to run for president, after he won a Michigan caucus, made the comment that the Christians are winning. Well, he was on Crossfire shortly after that, and you know they've got a liberal guy on one side and a conservative guy on the other side, and they're asking questions of Pat Robertson, some very poignant questions. And finally, one of them asks the question, how do you think non-Christians and the unchurched feel about your comment that Christians are winning? Are you only going to be representing the Christian community? What about all the other people? So we have to remember that. God loves us all. We're not just Christians. We are part of the community. He loves us all. And we should be representing everybody. We should give everybody the same opportunity to come to Christ that we have. And we live in a very diverse society. All the different denominations, all the different races. We live in a very diverse society, and sometimes you have to, like Paul did, be very careful about how you enter into something, how you talk to somebody about something. And you just have to learn how to do that, like Paul did. Find a common ground and start talking to them. Be kind to somebody where they really would never expect you to be kind, not you personally, but in that situation. And you might impress them. And you might start a conversation. Because, you know, we've been touched by Christ. And because we've been touched by Christ, we should want to have others touched by Christ. One of the things that I can ask you is, do people see Christ in you? Do people see Christ in me? I hope. There's a couple of songs that I'm aware of. There's a contemporary song called Let Them See You in Me. And that's what he's talking about. As he speaks, as he sings, as he plays his music, let them see you in me. Let them hear you in me. And then Joey and Rory sing a song. And she sings about people seeing God in him. Because people say they don't see God. They don't know that God's there because they don't see him. And she's singing about how she hopes that people see God in her children the way they are. She hopes that people see God in the way she cooks and all the different things that she does. She hopes that people see God in her. And I hope people see God in each of us. Because that's important. Let them see you, Christ, in me. And you can bring people to God. So are we crossing the desert, completing our mission, bringing people to God? Or are we protecting our vehicle and living an old tradition from 50 years ago? And again, I'm not advocating that we change things up and have a band up here on Sunday morning, but we have to meet people the way where they are. We have to show people the benefit of coming to church and coming to our church. And I know it's sad that you have to do that these days, but that's just the way our generation is. That's the way society is today. They want to get something out of it. And like I mentioned, if it gets them in the church, great. If it keeps them in the church, great. Even if they're there for the wrong reason, they might feel God's Spirit and become a part of His Christian family and His community. Amen.